Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raf on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smart Gilas Filipinas podcast.
Hello! You're listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast in the world.
In the world.
In the world.
In the world.
In a world where...
This is the Smart Gilas Filipinas podcast, and you're listening to the dulcet tones of Ravishing Roma, right? And the high-pitched, nasally, whiny tones of Grab Camus. And
Rowdy Raf Camus on this show.
Yeah, the Rowdy Grab Camus.
Rowdy Grab Camus, okay.
Yeah, that actually fits.
It fits.
And Mr. C is not here.
Not here.
Last week he was here, but he wasn't here. This week he's not here, and he's not here.
Do we need to start putting out the box cartons?
We know where he is. He's right now. He's in Korea. Last week he was just off service. No, out of service. If you will.
Kakagarahe lang.
Oh, yeah. Kailangan gumarahe na maaga.
Maaga yung
last. Yeah. So it's you and me and the songs. It's you, me, and today, this week's episode, you will be listening to Mr. Chino Liao. Former junior jock. I don't know if he still is.
Is he?
He kind of doesn't really, advertise it anymore.
Yeah.
Current stand-up comedian. And
all around good guy.
All around good guy, yeah. Review PWA Live Sugod's Power Mac Spotlight Arena. And before we get to that, though, let's talk about a little something in the world pro wrestling today. Let's start with the survival.
Oh,
the kick out at 2 9/10.
Of Ric Flair. My God. Yeah, and he comes out. Okay, he cuts his promo in a "I'm not dead yet, motherfuckers" shirt.
Yeah, obviously that was intentional on his part. To be honest with you, I was really prepared now. I was actually... I told Maro, Mario Marin, our resident Mark Henry eulogist, if you will.
Eulogist, yes.
I was telling him to prepare
for the
eventual... Inevitability. I mean, yes, everyone's gonna die, right? But for Ric Flair, it might have happened sooner or later. So apparently, there was a blockage in his colon. For those who don't know,
that's bad.
Yeah, they never knew it was there for this entire time until he had to be rushed to the hospital, and it was from years and years of his, his debauchery,
styling and profiling,
limousine riding, jet flying, Space Mountaining. Yeah, and it was apparently that bad. He was almost, there.
Brink of death,
and it's a miracle, really, that he was able to survive and is kicking right now.
Yep, and it's one of those things that the power of prayer does absolutely nothing in this case.
Yes, thank you. I thought you were going
somewhere. No, not going religious on
I really
that.
Was hoping you would not go there, and you did not.
Science
so
saved
thank
him.
You for yeah. Science!
Science saved him, guys. Remember, get your colon checked.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
You never know, right?
You never know. Because, yes, thank you for the prayers. It's all nice and good. Yeah. But the thing is, at the end of the day, you got to get your bum checked.
Yeah, I guess what we can credit prayer for is, maybe prayers were answered into... science.
Which is always the case.
Science happening, right?
Because,
if you were praying for science, great.
Because science, at the end of the day, tells us... No, science tells us the earth is round.
Oh, my God.
Your colon needs to get checked because blockages can happen. And medicine saved him. So, remember that, guys.
So,
the earth is round.
Ric Flair lives another year and maybe a year closer to watching Charlotte get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, which is always a good thing.
Dream. Yeah, it's his biggest dream career achievement, last reigning career achievement right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, so
if he could induct her into the Hall of Fame, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be great if he ever gets to that point.
Pipe dream.
Anyway, yeah, so we're happy Ric Flair survived.
And speaking of women.
Speaking of women, yes.
Speaking of women.
The Mae Young Classic continues. We're in the second of 3 weeks.
My God. It just keeps dropping.
And
we
now
have to play catch up.
It's starting to make even less sense. If it made some sense to you that the first round was dropped in one go,
yeah,
the entire drop last week was just the first round. Now it's a little anticlimactic because not only are you getting round two, which I thought was going to be the only drop. I thought actually the quarterfinals would be consisting of 2 weeks, right?
Oh,
So two episodes dapat of round two and two episodes of round three. Quarterfinals. But nope, they pretty much dropped the entire rest of the tournament, leaving the finale for next week, which is going to be live on the network. So it's great, yes. The action is actually pretty consistent, but I think at this point, there's just so much. Not just so much for us, but it's also getting to be a little too much for them. For the women. I think that in prioritizing the network numbers, you kind of sabotage in some way, but not too much, because the women wrestlers are actually pretty good enough to downplay any damage and to work through their
that
energy.
Short schedule.
And their tight schedule. It's getting though. Where the Cruiserweight Classic was pretty consistent all throughout, because everyone was able to spread out the taping schedules in some way. They only have 3 days to work with.
Yeah. And the
two days,
and the amount of rest that you can get in 2 days of wrestling.
That's trying to figure out what the division is. If they filmed the first three rounds in the first day and then maybe did the semis for the second day, which doesn't make sense.
I'd say the first round all in one day, and then everything else the next
first
day.
Round. Ah, okay.
Yeah, because you have 16 matches.
That does make sense. Yeah, yeah.
16 matches on
that
day
makes more
one.
Sense, yeah.
And then you have this whole second. Yeah, but it's
that explains
so
why the quarterfinals at least
saw them.
Yeah, we just finished watching. I still have yet to watch the semis. I don't know if Camus has.
Barely.
Okay, so by the quarterfinals, you can tell that some of them are already a bit on half of the gas tanks.
Yeah,
and
it's valid.
It's valid. Yes, only if you acknowledge it in the actual narrative,
which
going by the semis palang, you don't hear from either JR Lita, and it's their job. It was their job talaga to lay down the situation right out of the context of that these women have been wrestling for 2 days now, and not necessarily like the 3 weeks, right?
That you're
watching them, right? Yeah. Or at least the 4 weeks
if you count a bracketology.
No. If you like 1 week per round, right?
Tama. Which if they did with the release schedule, pwede pa.
Yeah.
But if they spread out the tapings, pwede pa. But they do it in 2 days.
No. Either if you're gonna go with this, you might as well just say no. Oh, these women, we made these women wrestle in 2 days.
Yeah, and it's not barbaric.
Yeah,
people do it all the time.
Yeah. And I suppose like the last four, the final four, would be the ones taking the brunt of the exhaustion.
Uh-oh.
But yeah, it doesn't bode well, because even though the women are great on their own, you don't kind of give them the opportunity to give them everything, for them to give everything they got, because you're making them wrestle in such a rush schedule. And if they were just rested between at least the semis and at least the quarters and semis, it becomes a game of who's just really booked better now at this point, who can go, who can keep going, right? And not really a showcase of everything they can do.
If they went the route of the Cruiserweight Classic, now if they spread this out just a bit more, people could have talked about their matches.
Yeah. As a result, we have some matchups down, at least in the semis or in the quarters, right? That aren't as good as they could have been, like Abby Leith versus Mercedes Martinez.
Yeah.
To some extent, then Kairi Sane versus
Dakota Kai,
right? They were slow. Not in a bad way, not entirely
methodical,
in a bad way, but you can tell that they were gas. And again, it doesn't help that JR or Lita don't mention the fact that they've been resting for 2 days, for a day now.
It also doesn't help that there's barely any chemistry between the two of them.
Who?
JR and Lita.
That's true.
We have
JR is actually, now I figured it out after thinking about it after a couple of weeks, right? JR is calling a match, and I don't know if it's because he's old, but he's calling his matches as though he was recording his podcast. And if you listen to his podcast,
That's his style.
It's actually quite a departure from what you know him for, the announcing style that you know him for. He doesn't do it in He's not loud, as excitable. Maniacal. Yeah, he's not as excitable anymore. He's now quiet and reserved, which is fine for a podcast, yes. But not fine for something that you should be hyping the fuck out of, right?
Yeah. That's your job.
Yeah.
Please do your job.
Yeah, but like, we don't know that Lita is, I don't know, is as good.
Lita barely has experience. Yeah. She does the pre-show, you know, she does the pre-shows every now and then. Yeah. But she's not, she doesn't have, what, 30 years of experience?
I don't know why. I kind of assume the worst here because, I don't know, is it because they're kind of sabotaging the women's tournament because it's not as good as the Cruiserweight Classic or the UK tournament? Although, the UK tournament followed the same pattern, though.
Yeah. And, no, but the UK tournament
was live. Yeah.
And they did acknowledge a lot of the injuries that were happening.
And yeah. So I don't know why they didn't give the same treatment. It's kind of weird to me.
Siam.
So many factors working against this. We kind of even haven't gotten into the seedings yet.
Yeah.
The seedings worked best.
Oh, my God.
It was shitty first round because you got guys like Santana Garrett, Tessa Blanchard.
Who were out.
Who else?
Sinapaba. Who was out first round?
Guys like Sage Beckett. Sinapa.
Well, it's the second round. Marami
naman. No. Second round is fine. But... it didn't. The bracketing didn't make for a good first round.
Uh-oh.
And it only really shined in the second round because
it gets good.
You got filtered down to a 16 pool. Na
very respectable 16 pool.
Consistent and solid all around. And then you get to the quarterfinals, which sees the bracketing mess up again.
Yes.
Because you got. You got matchups like Mercedes Martinez versus Abby Laith, and then the wrong person goes over, right?
Yep.
And then you got matchups like Toni Storm versus Piper Niven,
which is
face versus face,
and
but it was wasted because you have a match like Shayna Baszler versus
Candice LeRae,
which is fine, but it could have been better served if. Baszler was faced. I don't know. You only have one heel.
Yeah, you only have one heel. So you got one true heel that's being built up throughout this whole thing.
And you get a main event that's Kairi Sane and Dakota Kai, and you force Dakota Kai to go a little pseudo heel.
Yeah,
which doesn't make sense and it looks bad on her.
It does. It doesn't. It didn't seem natural for her most of the match because, well, Kairi Sane is as face as you can get in this case.
Yep.
So for me. I have to wonder, bracketing. Did the foresight of booking screw this from the beginning?
I think they really focused too much in the short term. They were focused on providing good quality matchups in round one. It's a fair concern, but I think that if you had good enough talent in them at the same time, you could have provided compelling round one. Like, I want to see Mia Yim in the quarterfinals, at least, right?
At least. Mm. Because she is that good.
Mm.
She is that good. And, I mean, is there any... Okay, who is the one who suffers the most from this setup? Mia is one of them. Candice is one of them.
Santana
Garrett.
Yeah, really lost a lot here because she deserved more than a round one elimination.
Tessa Blanchard, okay lang eh. Because the showing was great.
It's Kairi Sane then.
It's Kairi.
But she deserved a round two elimination.
Yeah. If they met in round two, and with the exact same match.
Rachel Evers had no business going to round two.
Oh, yes.
What else? That's pretty much it, really.
End of the day, we're still going to watch this.
Yeah. The final of Shayna versus Kairi. Still a good thing.
The inevitable.
Yeah, which was the inevitable. It's them at least making up for not having Ibushi Saber.
Yeah.
Or Ibushi anything. Ibushi TJ, right?
Yeah. I was like, wait, you got me there.
Diba? And it's, I don't know. To me, now that we're getting such a huge tournament in the Mae Young Classic, and we're seeing that there could have been so much more better executions, it's just like a wasted opportunity. And I do hope that reception. I can't really deny it. It's lukewarm.
It's not hot.
It's for a women's tournament, for an all women's tournament. It's not as hot as it should be, and a lot of that is thanks to WWE. But I do hope that the lukewarm reception doesn't lead to not getting a second one.
Yeah.
Whether it's next year or the year after, diba?
Yeah. And apparently they can do this every other year with
I don't mind it. Cruiserweight Classic. Rotate it with the Cruiserweight Classic.
I don't mind. And at the same time, I think that a lot of the women who are going to get signed from this do stand to have a good opportunity in NXT.
That's a good thing you brought up the fact that these women are getting signed, because I do think that for all its failings, for all the WWE shortcomings in producing this tournament, I do think they did find themselves a good talent pool of women. Who, I mean, for those who are willing to sign, especially the ones who are in the later rounds, they are good additions no matter what to any roster, whether it's NXT or the main shows.
Who do you want to see first?
Bianca Belair has already signed, though. So
yes, she's signed.
I would like to see girls like Rhea Ripley signed for sure.
Developmental.
Actually, no, I think a lot of these girls have already been signed. With exception of some indie names. I would like to see Santana Garrett signed. I could pass her Mercedes Martinez for now. Princesa Suhei would probably get signed because, you know, she's a Lucha legend.
Yes.
But I would like her to be involved with a company in like a
trainer,
a Liger
role, apparently one-offs.
Yeah, right? Like, you know, you need someone for Asuka to beat, or you know, for Ember Moon to face.
Bring her
in for a takeover.
I was gonna say, she could be, if Sarah Amato can't do it, send her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So what I'm gonna Candice is not probably signed yet,
but has. Apparently she has high
Because Gargano, too. Right?
And it would be nice for them to just be together.
Yeah.
It's a nice story.
The really big win here is that WWE did its job in finding women who could... The right women who could put on and represent the best of women's wrestling around the world.
Yep.
And they did a good job of making sure that, you know, the crowd would want to see any of these girls, a lot of these girls, get signed.
All right.
So that's it for the Mae Young Classic. I'm looking forward to the finale next week. I would assume it's right after. I don't know if it's right after Raw. Do we have a schedule for that?
I haven't seen a schedule yet.
All right, so guys, we'll update you with the schedule in a bit
when we get to it on social media eventually.
Right. So let's move on. Yeah, let's move on to our PWR Live Su Good spotlight.
Power match. Su Good. It's Su Good.
Super long name.
Su Good. Period.
Yeah. Power Mac
at the Power Mac
Spotlight
Center
Arena.
Not really.
Yeah. Kino Liao is right here, waiting in the wings to give his review. And let's go to him right now. Right, so joining us today for our perfunctory PWR Live review is none other than one of your favorite PWR reviewers, I like to say.
He's the consistent one.
Yeah, well, you can't be consistent when you've only reviewed it once.
So, bench Chinese guy.
Yeah, but I will say that. No, I mean, you can't say he's consistent yet, but I will say that I like him, you like him.
Maybe people after
love
him.
PWR loves him. Chino Liao, everyone.
Hey, guys, hey, maybe after the third one.
Yeah, you'll
after
be consistent.
After Stan's nth world tour.
Oh.
Maybe, well, maybe
was
then
Stan
I can be
here
consistent.
When you last reviewed?
No.
Well, that brought in. Wow, what a coincidence. So.
See, I like it like this.
Before we get on with the review, let's talk about what we've been to last night as of this recording.
Yeah.
So last night we were at Laugh Laboratory, which is hosted by Chino and by Comedy Manila. So
hey, yes.
At Dulo Bar in Pobla.
Pobla.
Pubs. In fucking Pobla. Pobla ba Pubs?
I don't know.
I actually have a friend who listens to this podcast, and his name is Pubs.
Okay. So Pobla. We're going to
go with
Pobla.
Dulo Bar, the restaurant. The rest of the bar that is apparently not finished yet.
With the exposed concrete.
Exposed
everything.
So yeah, it was like a house show, if you will.
It was a house show. Yeah, it was our monthly comedy special in Dulo.
Monthly pa siya. I thought it was like every couple of weeks.
No, it's it only happens once a month.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for showing up.
Yeah.
Thank you for everybody who showed. Wala artista last night.
Oh, hi.
But the last time you had Janine.
Yeah, I became the official comedian for Janine. Guys, gabi.
I was like low key hoping they were there.
Low key hoping.
I was homies.
I was hoping low-key that we would be able to top that celebrity status.
Baka dumating si John Lloyd.
Oh, baka dumating si John Lloyd or baka dumating si Liza, diba? Tapos wala eh. Dumating lang taga PTV4 eh. bumaba pa siya.
Which can but I think you mentioned Red's PTV stint.
Yes.
Just for him to segue to his
yes.
joke about PTV.
Yeah, it's comedian tag team.
Right. So okay, so Chino will be reviewing PWR Live Sugod sa Bayanihan Power Max Center
Spot. It's okay, Ro. It's okay. It's just Sugod.
Yeah,
I know.
Just Sugod. Actually, no, I can't tell what the real name is because the event page on Facebook
yes.
has the whole thing. And I don't know if it's like part of the title, yung pangalan ng venue, or yeah. really just, you know, we're putting the venue there so people know about it.
Yeah, because it wasn't Bakbakan.
So it was Bakbakan
sa Bayanihan.
Yeah, exactly. Finally, a good point for once from Camus.
Thank you.
But yeah, while we're talking about the venue, Chino, what did you think of Power Max?
Oh, I love that theater, man. I had a hard time looking for it since that part of town is really not somewhere I would frequent.
Yeah.
Malapit siya sa Pobla, dude. Circuit Makati has transformed to one of the nicer malls,
I would say.
Yeah, well, hindi mo ma because that used to be a race
track. It is near the heart of Manila.
Yeah. So it's actually pretty like half Manila, half Makati.
Border, right?
But then Circuit Makati is like pretty to look at. Yeah. I had a hard time.
It's a ghetto high street.
Yeah. ghetto high street would make sense. Like a Trinoma version of high street.
Yeah.
Taimona, yes. It was a nice place. And the convenience of having a potato corner.
And Turk Shawarma.
And the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Where you don't have... No offense to Bayanihan Center or the other venues, but... Having a mall as the venue is pretty great.
Yeah, that's what I learned from Fisher Mall.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Right? And Fisher Mall, too.
And Fisher Mall's okay.
Yeah.
But then this is like, it's brand new, man.
Yeah, it is brand new.
Actually, I think this is, if I'm not mistaken, you guys can correct me. Yeah. This is the first actual theater.
Yes.
Like, I mean, this
is formal.
Theater. Yeah, for formal theater, right? Because, like, I Academy was like a student theater.
It was an auditorium.
Okay, so this was the. First
pro level theater,
right? And you can actually feel it as soon as you walk in. I haven't been personally, but when you see it on TV, it reminds me of the One Night Stand ECW.
Right?
It's like an actual hall with proper lighting.
When I first got acquainted with Power Max Center, when I was, we scouted it for a location back when I was working with Scout.
Yeah.
Right? And we had an event there last year, and they stayed Shasara, where the left side of the ring is facing the entrance curtain. So I didn't know you could actually take that out and put a ring in the middle and arrange the audience set up.
What was gonna happen
was that you would keep the stage there and then parang nakadikit dun yung ring.
Three
sides on your audience.
No, because I think Power Mac is classified as a black box.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Right, so you can move things around.
It's a very versatile space.
Yeah. It's not. Clearly, after last Sunday, it doesn't just work as a theater. You know? You can do wrestling shows.
Yeah, yeah. You can film movies.
Movies, right?
You can film porno.
Why would you film... whatever.
Live show.
All right. as you can see, Power Mac is really great. Hands down, at the moment, like the best venue.
Yes, I would agree.
Barring, future trips to like Moa Arena and stuff like that.
Or
Inares.
Inares, sure. Now, I would probably say that Power Mac is better than Inares if it weren't for like the limited capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so Chino, tell us the story of your experience in PWR Sugod.
Sugod was interesting because it was building up to, towards Vendetta.
Yeah,
right?
which is not the next show.
It's two shows from now.
Long-term planning.
Hey! But I like the whole Ubusan ng Lahi angle, which is very interesting because I didn't expect you guys to go there. I didn't even expect Stan to bump that hard. But bump he did. And it was just the whole Survivor Series style workup. To the match is something that I've always wanted to see in PWR. simply because there were just there's just too much too many moving parts in terms of story.
Okay.
So it's nice to see like factions built and like have two solid sides.
So you're saying that there are so many different entities because the roster is now pretty much pretty deep.
Yes, it's pretty
so
deep.
So you like it when they're grouped together by I guess common cause.
Yes. It's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay, sure. Broad, well, yeah, that's actually pretty.
You know how everything is like broad strokes, but at the end they have like Avengers.
Sure, yeah.
Because I just watched Civil War before coming here. So,
okay, so that's a major overarching theme of this show.
Yes.
But let's start from the start, or at least the start you were able to catch.
Yes. I saw the Bolt-Trudeau match. Bolt-Trudeau match of the night for me.
Okay.
Match of the night for me.
Yeah.
Hard to argue, guys.
Hard to argue. Very hard to argue.
These guys are, not only are they new, they have improved so much.
Yeah, yeah.
So quickly, exactly. Over the span of, what, 3 shows? Mm. Sobrang galing na nila. They move so well in the ring.
Legit, pare.
So well, legit. So fast, so agile for both of them. They look so good, too. I was actually hoping Trudeau might even make it to the APCC PHX.
He did.
Final three. But I mean, this is a pretty solid constellation, and for Bolt too, because you know when he started out, it's I'm not an anime guy, so I didn't get the whole character. But now even with the new costume, with the new suit,
the full suit.
Yeah, the full suit. It was pretty solid.
Yeah, and so it took like Zayden Trudeau at least. It took him like a couple of months to find his footing after, you know, like, you know, the last time we saw him for real.
Yeah.
He slipped off the top rope.
Yeah.
He's pulling off that. What is he calling it?
It's. No, what?
Air Canada. Air Canada.
Air Canada.
Air Canada.
Air Canada. Yeah. He's just easily the more agile high flyers in PWI are.
But anything else you have to say about these guys?
Just a good job all around to everybody.
All right. So solid undercard match first half. You know,
yeah.
It's actually pretty nice what you could come up with if you don't have that much pressure on you.
Yeah. Because it was just like a grudge. It wasn't even a grudge match. It was just a match.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Like, I think it was a rehash from APCC.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Rematch.
Yeah. For those who were not fortunate enough to catch the first Bolt-Trudeau match from APCC, they were PWR was pretty nice to give it to you for real.
Oh, yeah. See, it was a solid rehash, a solid reboot, if you will. I hope there's a part 3. Because these guys deserve it.
We'll see. I guess we'll see. Yeah.
Trilogies don't have to happen as fast.
Well, that is true. And then I got to see JDL take on Vlad.
Okay.
I think that is the next next match.
Very controversial
match. I was actually surprised that it ended in 5 minutes, but then I saw what Vlad did to JDL, so not that surprising.
How do you like did you like Vlad's new theme music though?
Yes, I like, honestly, I thought Sandata had new theme music, but I was wrong. But everybody who came out with new theme music, you got, and the PWR music guys are doing such a great job capturing the character of each wrestler.
Of curating
So that's
feel.
That's Ralph, that's Vlad, and
I don't know. Who else had a new music?
Ralph had new music. Vlad had new music. Vlad's music actually personified his whole block. Where is he from? Block 9?
Cell Block 9C?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Or 9E or something, right?
What's that? 9C? 9C,
I thought. Cell Block 9C aspect, the whole prison vibe. I like that a lot.
And then he had a new mask.
Yes, he had a new mask too.
Menacing man.
Well,
so, how did you feel about JD getting taken out that way? Na parang ang bilis din.
I was actually hoping that he would take part in the Ubusan ng Lahi.
Hmm.
It would be interesting for him to be part of that. But as we can see, Vlad Sintik had other plans. Now, it would be nice to see what they could do in the ring to against each other. Pero yun nga, ang labo, minsan kasi nung, like, the whole, well, I mean, he's a psychopath, so you can't really question his logic,
thinking,
right?
Yeah.
What he's thinking, but I will say that the whole muscle buster to the apron was impressive.
Yeah.
Muscle buster alone is impressive. Yeah, to get a guy that crumpled up and that high, ang ganda. But then muscle buster to the apron, total devastation.
All right, I have two questions for you around, surrounding this this particular bout. So first question is, what do you feel of with regard to Vlad Sincic's unexpected rise, if you will? You know, he's beaten Sandata out of nowhere, right? He's beaten, well, not the money, he didn't get that far in the PHX tournament, but he's still pretty, he shined pretty much.
Yep.
And then now he's beaten JDL, right?
Yeah.
He beat JDL, a tournament, and then beat him to a pulp now. So I guess you could say that's still a moral victory, if you will. So what do you think of all this?
Vlad is just carving out his own way now. I mean, he doesn't have Mike Madrigal to worry about, because Mike is the PHX champion, as we all know.
Yep.
Vlad, in his own right, feels that he needs to make his mark, you know, because there are just way too many guys, as you guys said.
There are a lot of guys.
Trudeau, Bolt are rising up, and then pretty soon there'll be more debuts. TDT and Evan Carlo just became number one contenders, so it leaves guys like Vlad, who decided to leave a tag team, out in the wind. So he felt like he needed to make a statement by taking out JDL. And, you know, for a psychopath, for a guy who doesn't really think that straight, I can see his logic behind that. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe he took it a little bit too far.
Okay.
But again, he's from Sunblock 9C.
He's crazy.
He's Vlad Sincic.
All right.
I'm afraid of him.
Second question. What do you feel about JDL's injury and, you know, his subsequent absence, I'm sure, and how it affects the PWR landscape?
He is going to be out for a while.
Prayers go out to JDL. I heard earlier today that he was in the hospital. I hope it's not too serious, but I also know that JDL is a resilient guy. He has been through so much in his PWR career. He's actually one of the tougher PWR competitors.
Oh, he hasn't really taken time off.
Right? Exactly. He has been the hardest working PWR wrestler in the roster since your Makati Cinema Square days.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, right? And that was a while ago. So for me to see JDL go out like that, I'm sad, but I have 100% confidence in him to make it back pretty soon, hopefully by Vendetta.
All right, it's good. And to think that people are stepping up, Dinaman.
Yeah, people are stepping up. So there's no void when it comes to talent in the PWR roster. So I actually wish that he makes a speedy recovery, but again, he's leaving PWR in good hands.
Yes, that's all we could have wished for, really.
I mean, there's so many other guys who they can slot into the his part of the card.
Yes.
That, you know, you might not consider off the bat, and they might just work out. You don't know yet.
All right, let's move forward. After the break, we have Peter Versosa versus Joey Bax.
Peter Versosa versus Joey Bax. Again, Versosa has always been confusing to me as a wrestler, because he meanders between factions. He's always been a heel. There's no question about that. Yes. But whether he was aligned with John Sebastian's group or against it, it was always wavering to me. And to see him go up against Joey Bax from last time, not the one before APCC, which was, I think, the one in
Fisher Mall,
if I'm not mistaken. So the one in Fisher Mall, I think they had an altercation.
Everyone had an altercation. Yeah. His team and
That's where Ubusan ng Lahi started, almost, right?
The seeds were planted.
Long-term
storytelling.
Fisher Mall. And it's always nice to see things like this pay off. I wasn't present in all 3 days of APCC because I only had 600 pesos.
It's fine.
So
I caught the important parts. Yes. And from what I understand, Joey Bax and Peter Versosa really didn't like each other.
No?
And it's understandable, because Peter Versosa calls himself Peter the V, and no one nice calls himself Peter the V.
No self-respecting person.
No self-respecting good guy calls himself Peter the V. And Joey Bax as as a solo competitor is actually, I don't miss Miguel Rosales. I miss Miguel Rosales, let's be clear. Yeah. But I don't miss Miguel Rosales that much.
What do you mean?
Like, he's, like, as a group of fighters for hire, I mean, I know he comes out later in the fight. Yeah. But as a solo competitor, Joey Bax can hold his own.
Okay. So that's what you're saying.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
He's gotten good enough to not make you miss Miguel Rosales that much.
Okay, so I didn't miss Tito Miggs as much or Kuya Miggs as much. But
Kuya ba o Tito Miggs?
I think because he looks younger. No offense, Joey Bax. You both are scary. But I'm going to stick with Kuya Miggs and Tito Joey. Tito Joey held up his own against John Sebastian, who is taking so many liberties with that referee.
And the fact that he owns half the company.
Yeah, well, I guess he can do that if you can do that if you own half the company.
Oh, diba?
But he was taking so many liberties, as in, he wasted all his shares in that one match.
You know, sometimes you have to make your investments count for the people you care about.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. He's looking after his own lahi, as you can say.
Baka naman.
Yeah, so... It was a good match for as long as it lasted. It's sad to see Joey go out like that.
Uh-huh.
But it's nice to see Mr. C come out and recruit the fighters for a hire one last time.
Even though they've had their share of
Even though they went their separate ways and they've done their own things. Yes, they've done their own things. They've gone their own ways. It's nice to see that little callback to the MCS days, the early days of PWR. And to see it take shape in Ubusan ng Lahi in Vendetta is really, really awesome.
All right. So the next match after that was the Four Corners Tag Team match.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome. If Bolt and Trudeau was match of the night, this was an easy number two.
Okay.
Just because of the spots it had.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. I did not expect TDT and Evan Carlo to win.
Neither did I.
So sorry, Graham.
No. As Rafael Camus, the reviewer, did not. Graham Camus, putang. Yeah. Of course, my boys were going to win. But I have to say. Who stood out the most during this match for you?
I think the people who stood out the most are, in fact, TDT and Evan Carlo.
Okay, that's. I know we're like both very biased here, but okay.
And I can defend. I know I'm biased, but I can defend it.
Go, man.
They were easily the underdogs in this entire fight. They are the newer tag teams in this entire match.
Having never tagged together.
Yes, exactly. They've never tagged together.
On the main shows.
Sorry. Yes.
On the main
shows. Yeah, they've never tagged together on the main shows. Even the Kakaibros are a more established tag team. They have tagged in multiple matches. Mm-hmm. They, Martiva and Robin were part of the tag team tournament for the titles.
And they've been going a while now.
Yes, and the Yolo Twins are your tag team champions. So
were. Champions.
I'm sorry. I remember Idol is going to revert my network card for this. But yeah, they were your first ever PWR tag team champions, right?
Yeah.
So after the State of the Network address.
Mm-hmm. Which we can get to after.
This match actually shaped up to put not just one team over, but multiple teams over. It was just, it solidified
the fact that there is a tag team.
That there is a tag team division, that there are multiple contenders, and that they can put on excellent matches in the long run.
Okay. Right. How do you feel about the Kakaibros, since you did mention them? Because it's how many shows in now for them? It's like this is the third or the fourth show that they've been on.
I don't know. How do you feel about garbage? Is that is that like a reasonable answer to your question? How do you feel about bacteria, Thomas? I don't know.
I was actually gonna say, how do you like the evolving
The tarpaulin gimmick is solid. I have to say, I had a good laugh seeing all those sponsors. The Trimona and...
Doctora Tan's clinic.
Yes.
Jason fucking steal from the Carlo show.
It was hilarious to see. It's good that they were able to think of better ways to show up that tarpaulin gimmick. solidifying their role as Massa versions of the YOLO twins.
When are we ever going to get a middle class team? Or is that
Evan, you guys Carlo? Don't have a middle team.
No, is that Evan Carlo and
is
DDP?
Is that the Fighters for Hire?
No, they're not exactly middle class. I mean, like, they're not.
They're working.
Part of the class spectrum.
Working class, sure.
Sure.
I suppose, they need money, right?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Well, it's something. New contenders. So,
new
State of the Network address.
The State of the Network address, seeing Chino Ginto make an appearance was something else. Because
via Facebook Live.
Via Facebook Live, sure. Sure, via Facebook Live.
Let's go with that.
But it was nice to see that he was there because nobody expected him to show up. He would be out for almost a year, right?
A little bit more than half a year.
Yeah, a little bit more than half a year. And to see him show up on Facebook Live was something else. Nobody expected him to be there. Idol could have handled it better, but he's Idol. So, again, there's a reason bakit lahat tayo downline lang. That's true. So, yeah, it was nice to see that. And it was nice to see them joining the crowd, watching the match from ringside.
Oh, that was fun.
That was a solid experience. A little extra for the fans who supported Sugod.
Mm-hmm. Say no, no, that's no, no. They don't. They just get to watch.
Yeah, they just get to watch, and they're going on vacation soon, right? So,
And they had that at the end of the match, na parang when they got the beat down on the Kakoy Bros.
Yes,
that,
that
must
is,
have been satisfying.
Yes, for everybody who is against what the Kakoy Bros stand for, this is the best spot ever, and that whole faction of Cap. Of Trian, of Evan, and of Graham Cabos in the middle of the ring. That's I'm gonna call it right now. That's the PWR's version of NWO.
They were just going for like the broken universe.
The N was gonna stand for Nano. the Nano World Order.
Trian, there's something there.
I'm going to give that to you, Trian.
There's something there. Do
something with that.
Nano
World Order. There you go, right?
I
want royalties.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I want royalties.
If we put that on a shirt, clean we're giving York. You 500
Yes, thank you.
Speaking of shirts, when can they grab their Grab Camus t-shirts?
Is it now available? Yeah. But I'm saving that for the end of the show.
All right, we'll plug it.
Yeah, take it where you can.
All right, so how do you feel about this? They deserve the win?
They deserve the win. They held up their own. I started out saying that I didn't expect them to win. I think they were the bottom-tiered teams out of the four of them because the other three were established tag teams.
Yeah.
One of them were even former tag team champions.
Mm-hmm.
The other two are established in the tag team division. So to see... excuse me. To see Evan Carlo and Trian hold up their own, even if there were technically four of them inside.
Numbers advantage kayo.
Grab Camus and Cap barely got it.
Yeah, barely. Whatever, barely minimal. Not compared to John Sebastian's and Bax. Yeah. It was this was fairly clean if you compare that to this. But to see Trian De La Torre and Evan Carlo win, it just shows that there is always a meritocracy in PWR.
Yeah.
People who deserve to win will win.
Okay.
And people who have improved, people who can hold up their own, especially against such incredible, impossible circumstances, who can pull off the win, will actually win. So it's nice to see that.
That's great. Yeah. I totally agree.
Next match. So we have
the PHX Championship match between Mike Madrigal, the newly minted PHX champion as of a couple weekends ago.
A weekend ago?
No,
just
two weeks ago.
Versus Sandata.
That was actually a solid match. Mike Madrigal has turned in to be the PWR's best heel.
Okay.
I would like to say.
Since Chino turned face.
Mike Madrigal has stepped up to be the PWR's best heel. The entire match, he was jaw-jacking the entire match, I love it. Even when he was taking bumps, he was jaw-jacking. He was talking trash.
How could he even have time?
Exactly.
to come up with a quip.
Yeah. And not just that, he was calling out individual audience members on the fly, on the regular, inside the ring, outside the ring, from the top.
That's comedy sharpness right there. I don't even have that talent, right? But for somebody like Mike to take bumps and to call people out and to talk trash the entire match while still being able to pull off a successful match, was pretty solid. I have to give him all my support and my appreciation. Sandata, the Pinoy Technico, always able to hold his own, always able to put up a great fight. Was that a new mask on Sandata?
Yeah, fairly.
I think it was an updated design according to him.
Updated sa manager ni John Lloyd galing yung statement.
Sa press release.
Press release ng manager ni John Lloyd. It was an updated design. So, it was nice to see that he's still... I like seeing different masks on different luchadors. Mm-hmm. It's just something that I like to see because, you know, I used to do this joke where luchadors have, like, the best fashion sense ever.
Yeah.
Because their mask always has to match what they're wearing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, it was nice to see... Right? So, it's nice to see... Sandata pulls something different out of his bag of tricks.
Were you watching him in APCC? Did you catch any of his matches?
I was not.
Not one. Would have enjoyed.
Because he cosplayed.
Oh, wow.
He cosplayed.
You have to see the photos.
El Santo and the man who is currently known as Kalisto's original mask as
Samurai. Oh, okay. As Samurai.
Samurai Dosso, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, Sayang. And you also... missed Trabajador Cuatro's learning effort against Revel Ranger.
I saw that match. The T-Rex came out and stunned everybody after.
In Sugod.
I did not see that Sugod match.
Cuatro. How do you feel about Cuatro? Because you
didn't
catch him at APCC.
Yes. Trabajador Cuatro is easily the most agile out of the 1,500 trabajadores we've seen.
1,500.
He is only the
fifth.
If you're not counting Supremo, who has not wrestled yet.
Okay.
Yes.
He's the fifth.
So, okay. Trabajador Cuatro,
actually... they could have an Usang Lahi.
Yeah, yes, Trabajador exactly. style Usang Lahi.
I mentioned that the other day.
I mean, it's going to involve... Trabajador wheelchair to get out of the wheelchair. But,
sabihin mo kasi Trabajador wheelchair.
Trabajador wheelchair, that is get off the wheelchair and be the fifth member. Unless, maybe, they have a fifth Trabajador we don't know about.
No, they do.
No, they're in the shadows.
No, remember, there's uno, dos, tres. Maximo.
Okay.
And then cuatro.
So they're five. Yeah, no, I'm saying if there's like a Trabajador cinco.
Cinco.
Somewhere in the shadows.
I'm sure meron yan.
Lurking.
One day, cinco.
Okay. Sa Bombay Suarez and
yeah, it's a bone. So, the secret order of Trabajadores.
I'm sure there's one more. There's got
to
be.
Might be able to pull off like at least five more Trabajadores out of the shadows. But Trabajador Cuatro, easily the most agile out of the Trabajadores, able to pull a standing slice bread.
Yeah, actually.
Right? That takes a lot of skill.
And you did catch Revel Ranger.
Yes.
Did catch Revel Ranger at APCC. What do you think about him?
Revel Ranger is an interesting fellow, I have to say. I prefer, no offense to Revel Ranger, but I'm always a Capitan PWR guy.
Okay. Let's just clarify, they are two different people.
Yes, they are two different people. Revel Ranger is a different character from Capitan PWR, but I feel that Capitan PWR always stands for what PWR stands for.
All right.
Like Captain America, almost.
All right. Going back to the PHX Championship match, anything else you'd like to say about it?
Yeah, no. It was sad to see how it devolved from again.
Yes.
He has 50% of the company, so he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
But John Sebastian just had to meddle in this match and have his dirty fingers all over this match and distract Sandata and put him down. And it was sad to see that it had, how it finished, because Mike Madrigal could have won without any help.
Clean.
But yeah. I mean, because he is Kupal, that's how he had to win, right?
Were you ready to see the title change? The PHX Championship title?
No, I'm not ready.
Just because Mike just won it.
Yes. I mean, I think Smarky people will agree with me when I say that secondary titles always go to the hardest workers.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And Mike Madrigal has proven that he's one of the hardest workers in PWR.
Okay.
For a short tenure that he's had in the company.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sure.
So, do you think that Sandata will ever get a chance, a clean chance, at the PHX Championship at this rate?
Here's what I'm going to say, though. I don't know about the PHX Championship, but I want Sandata to make an appearance at Ubusan ng Lahi. To at least be a member of Stan's team.
Well, as of now, ambiguous
pa. Yeah, right? Because, I mean,
he blames Stan for a lot of things going wrong.
Right?
And it is Stan. It is Mr. C's fault, not Stan. Mr. C.
Mr. C, I'm quoting John Sebastian when I say Stan, but
high five.
He calls him Stan, right? Sure, That's what he calls him.
That is his name, but the character Mr. Stan.
No, yeah. I mean, what else would Mr. C be called unless he wants to use his second name?
Yeah,
which he doesn't.
What is his second name?
Secret.
We'll tell you off air. But it's pretty good.
Okay. So
I actually love it, no?
Yeah, it is good.
It's actually not bad.
It's not.
But yes, moving on. Chinese people.
Anyway, sorry, China. The match for Vendetta. Again, I keep going back to that because I think it's really a great idea.
And it's going to be, I think Vendetta this year is going to be way more stacked
We didn't have Vendetta last year.
We did not. I did not see a Vendetta last year. That's why PWR is probably making up for it this year with such a stacked card. Sure. You know, this is a great idea.
Wala naman Terminus.
Walang Terminus.
Yes. Wala naman Terminus since last year. Pa. Yeah. So, alright.
I think Terminus is phased out.
Mm. So you can't end, really, unless like
you can't end the end. It's just been phased out.
Yeah.
It's on hiatus, as they call it.
Indefinite.
Indefinite hiatus on Terminus. But where are we at?
Okay, Vendetta. So, let's move on now.
The main event,
Triple Threat, PWR Championship. So, Billy Sway defends against Chris Panzer and Imabayashi. And in a shocking turn of events, Chris Panzer won the thing again.
Yes. What a match. What a match. I did not expect Panzer to win. Mm. I expected Swade to retain. Because Billy Swade represents Philippine wrestling for what it is. Not just PWR, I feel. Okay. I feel like the greatest example for a Filipino wrestler. It's an undersized guy, an undersized Filipino, who was able to compete abroad, and he was able to make a name for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to, you know, be athletic and entertaining and charismatic and, of course, beautiful. Right? So I was shocked to see Panzer win, but it's not like he doesn't deserve it.
Because
Chris Panzer, easily one of the more harder working guys in PWR. I mean, he's been in the company since its inception.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's proven time and again that he's been overlooked most of the times. And when he won that championship the first time, I felt deep down that he actually deserved it. Like, when he won that championship, I felt Chris Panzer was in his rightful place. Not only just heading the Panzer Army, but heading also the PWR.
Yeah.
PWR roster, you know, the company. And to see him beat not just Billy Sway, but the best pure wrestler, Ralph Imabayashi, who I'm not going to talk shit about anymore. Because the last time I did that, he got mad at me.
On Twitter?
On Facebook.
Okay, Facebook. But I do want to ask. You haven't been talking about him so much. But how do you feel about his performance?
No, he did a pretty good job as well. These guys, all three of them, are the best wrestlers in the company.
Okay. 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3. Best, do you want me to rank them? Or you?
If you wish to, sir. If you wish to.
Okay, since he's champion, Panzer is one.
Okay.
Number two would be Swade, and number three would be Ralph.
Yeah.
And who's your number four? Just for
number four?
I just want to know.
Why does it matter?
It matters to me.
Rosales would be number four. Okay. I'm sorry, JDL would be number four.
Okay.
But he's injured, so.
Rosales. Okay.
Why does it matter? Jesus Christ.
You want to go number five?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, let's go.
It's just for future reference.
Okay.
Keeping that in the bank.
See, now people are going to start giving me the death stares when I go back to Octoberplex.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's amazing to see this match take shape for what it was. Yeah. I was hoping for a Tower of Doom somewhere in between.
Okay.
But
it happened.
You have not been conditioned.
I've been conditioned by the WWE and by PWR to expect a Tower of Doom whenever three people end up in a turnbuckle somehow.
It's APCC
The APCC, I saw the video that.
I think the closest you got to the Tower of Doom was...
There was a spot in the turnbuckle.
There's a turnbuckle spot, and then somebody got kicked down.
Yes,
Billy kicked somebody who was on the top rope, and then both of them were in the corner.
And
the
Tower of Doom is just pretty to look at. Like, it hurts a lot, I'm sure, but it's just nice. Yeah, it is nice just to look at. But it's also nice to see these great wrestlers put on an excellent closer at the end of the match. To end the night with, rather. It's sad again, 50% John Sebastian showing up and getting involved and putting the hurt on Stan.
Oh, let's talk about this.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about how you feel about the hurt getting put on. End segment where the man who is not on this show got slammed down.
Hurt was put on him.
I was so shocked when he took that bump. That knee... To the slam.
Knee to slam to dead. Knee to slam to splash.
To splash.
Jesus Christ, that splash. I'm sorry. That is a scary thing.
I have been talking to him outside of the shows. I've been asking him if he's been training, and he gives me sly answers. Talking about Mr. C / Stan. And and he's been giving me sly answers, telling me that I have a non-contact. Is that his second name? Is that
Sly?
No, could be.
Could be. Could be. Work, right? Yeah. But yeah, he's been giving me coy answers.
He's been ambiguous about it?
Yes. Take that bump was actually, I was just all respect to him, man.
Respect.
To people who take bumps, I could never do it. I know a lot of people who watch could never do it.
I don't know. If you were ever to be a wrestler, though, given your size, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, you don't have to take as much bumps. Red knows.
Well, okay, yes. No, he's been telling me that. Yeah. But I mean, you still take bumps.
Yeah, right?
the bump count is a lot lower.
Not with the same frequency as the smaller guys.
Yeah, well, that's...
technically do have to take a lot of bumps.
Yeah, well, okay, that makes sense. But yes, no,
if
I mean
you were
a bump, but according to Red, the bump is still a bump. Either way, and for him to take not just one move but three. It's just impressive, and I give him all the luck in the world, come Vendetta. I wish him all the best.
He's not the one, you know.
He's not the one competing, sure, right? But I mean, he's
you
he
never
still
know.
Has.
He will
still,
not be the fifth guy. You never know. You know might, this guy might, really likes Shane McMahon.
Maybe he might pull off a Shane. Exactly. He might be the fifth guy. We don't know.
And you know what? If it gets to that point with the roster being as deep as it is,
wow.
And he pulls a Shane McMahon. Wow. Ewan ko na lang, Stan. Ewan ko na lang, Stan.
That's self-promotion at its finest right there. But it's nice to see... I got to catch him recruit Chris Panzer to his side. Being the champion, it's nice to see that the champion is part of this matchup. Are we going to see a championship match in Vendetta? Is he going to drop the title in Octoberplex? To not have a title fight or the main title match defended in Vendetta would be to not. We'd be like having a pay-per-view and not have a Universal title fight.
All right.
It's happened before.
It has.
It happened before. Maybe it might happen in PWR. So we'll see.
Mm. All right. So, okay, since the whole thing has wrapped up, let's wrap it up with your overall assessment for Sugod.
It was a solid show. I think the show was helped a lot, bolstered a lot by the venue.
Okay, yeah.
Again, great job to PWR for booking the Power Max Center.
Yeah.
I wish that all the matches, even if it was far from me,
yeah.
and I'm not familiar with the territory, I am willing to brave the nakaka-ebros territory.
Di ba naman territory nila trinoma?
Yung labas. Yung labas ng circuit. Yung medyo, it's like the safe zone.
Alam mo na yun, Camus. When you even get to the park outside, the event ground.
Yes, yes. So like,
it's the Pasig River right outside.
Yes. So you have to brave their territory to get to the safe zone, right? But I like the theater. I like the technicalities involved with putting on the show with the spotlight. Spotlight was beautiful.
Oh sure.
We didn't talk about that for the main event. How did you like that effect?
It was beautiful to look at. It really made it feel like a title fight.
Yeah.
It really made it feel like it was a proper championship match for all of it.
Mm. Yeah. May drama.
The focus on each wrestler was beautiful, especially with Ralph Imabayashi, because he had his own personal barker in Roderick Mahaba.
His partner. That's never gonna get old.
So it really just hyped. It took it to another level.
Whole nother level
that I did not expect.
So legit level.
And I just expect more come Octoberplex.
Right.
So right. If you were to rank this out of a 5-star scale, what would you give it?
I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay, that's fair. All right.
That's absolutely fair.
All right, so that's it for Chino's review of PWR Live Sugod. Hopefully you'll be there for the next one in October.
Oh, most definitely.
And
especially if there's a potato corner.
Can we lock down your appearance to review the show?
Sure, yeah. Yes! Yes!
Hopefully he stands on the show.
I'm sure he will be. Say, why? What kind of a general manager would he be if he was not?
No. I mean, for the review show.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. So now I don't have to be a off-the-bench Chinese guy.
No. Actually, no. You should be like the first string forever.
First string. Thank you.
All right. So, Tino, let's plug away.
Oh, yeah. Every month we have a show in Dulo. That's in Poblacion, Makati.
It's the unfinished restaurant that's right beside Crying Tide.
Yes. Yep. It's called Laugh Laboratory. Next month we have Victor Anastasio.
Hey!
Headlining. He's pencil booked it, according to him.
Pencil booked it.
It's as good as done, basically.
Yeah.
And a few other comedians. So that's happening October 18th.
October 18th.
For more info, just look on Facebook and look for me on Facebook, Chino Liao. Also on Twitter, it's at Chino Supersized. And on Instagram, it's at ChinomNomNom.
Yeah. So Laugh Laboratory is only for $250. Is that
$250? Yes, for $250, yeah, $250, you get the beer. Also, it's ending this Friday, but it's making a comeback. It's making a comeback in October. Funny Fridays in Teatrino, the greatest hits show. Yeah, in Green Hills.
I really want to watch this.
Make your way down to Teatrino. Yeah, it's
Friday.
I know it's traffic, but it will be worth your time. It's almost 3 hours of the best stand-up in the Philippines.
Yeah. And how much is
this? This is 500 pesos. Right. A little bit more expensive.
But
it's Teatrino.
For 3 hours.
And for 3 hours, you get guys like Alex Calieja, Ryan Remsarita, GB Labrador, Red Oliero, Victor Anastasio. I can go on and on with these names.
Yeah,
comedymanila.com for all your tickets, bookings, open mics, etc.
Ang tanong, sinasalan ka ba nila sa Teatrino?
Yes, I'm going on.
I'm going on tomorrow.
For the last one. So it's special because it's the last one until October.
Has Billy Swade seen one of their shows?
I don't think so.
He should.
He might
appreciate it. Yeah.
All right.
So thanks again to Chino for
anytime,
stopping
fellas,
by.
Anytime.
Thank you. Last parting words for PWR, anyone you'd like to make?
Just, I can't wait for October.
All right. Neither can we. Thanks again, Chino.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Chino Liao, for gracing us with your presence once again. I think we have to get him every month now.
Yeah. As long as he comes to the shows.
Yeah.
So glad to see that the Power Mac Center Spotlight Arena.
So long.
Made a huge impact on our fans as well as it did to us. So it's time for our picks of the week. Let's wrap this baby up.
All right. I've got Tony Storm versus Piper Niven from the Quarters. Yeah. Man.
So we figured out. No, we figured out the final schedule. the final schedule for Mae Young Classic, and it's apparently after SmackDown on Tuesday, September 12th. That's Wednesday morning our time. Apparently, the match will be streaming live from Las Vegas, which is where SmackDown will be.
But
they won't throw it at Full Sail at all.
No Full Sail treatment for them.
So we don't know yet what's going to happen to 205 Live.
We don't know what's going to happen with the whole undercard. If there is an undercard at that.
No, I don't think there is. I think that they're just going to go right to it. Vignettes and, you know, interviews set it up. Just have one last match after SmackDown goes off the air.
Oh, boy.
All right, so Toni Storm versus Piper Niven.
Toni Storm versus Piper Niven. I like this match just because it was very simple, very well-told story. And it's, you know, when you watch Piper Niven, she's really fun. And yes, she is, spots in.
I mean, I love Toni Storm, and I think she's hot. But
she is hot.
I really did want to see them ride Piper Niven all the way to at least the semis.
Yeah. At this rate, I think if both women sign, that's going to be fun.
I don't think Piper's signing, though. There are too many, factors within the company that would not work.
I get it, but
she would be great.
She's fun. She's fun to watch. I'm gonna start looking out for her more often on the indie scene after this. You know, after her match today. So who you got, Ro?
All right, mine is also for the Mae Young Classic. I'm gonna go with a round two matchup of Mae Young versus Shayna Baszler,
mostly because
you know I love my strong style. You know I love my never open weight championship match styles, and you know this was straight out of the. You know if NJPW had Joshi wrestling, this is what it would look like.
I assume
that Joshi wrestling looks like this, then.
Yes, nowadays.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's it's the most. You know what? One thing that the Mae Young Classic did not have over the Cruiserweight Classic, it didn't have a clash of styles. Cruiserweight Classic had all the styles represented.
All the styles were clashing.
Yeah. Not even the UK tournament had that much variety.
Diversity.
Diversity in the kind of wrestling style we saw. But to me, having Mia and Shayna trade for what is pretty much an MMA style pro wrestling match.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, so much fun. And
I think
it should have been a quarterfinal match for sure. If not a semifinal match.
This is by far one of the best.
Yeah.
The best matches from the entire tournament.
Yep.
Now, if you're going to watch,
not because it's different, but also because it's so good.
It's so good.
You can tell how much of a veteran Mia is.
Yeah. A lot of people don't give Mia Yim the credit that she deserves.
Yep.
Just because she worked on that brand?
No, man. She was like, it's like Gail Kim. It's like, she was one of the better talents of that brand, of TNA.
Kaso nga lang, she was on TNA. Yeah. But she is, by and large, one of the, I want to see her succeed.
Yeah.
I want to see her succeed, not necessarily in the WWE system, but she is so good. She has to get booked.
Yeah, I think she has to get signed. If they really want her, she should. And you know,
imagine her versus Asuka.
Yeah, not just that.
Oh god,
I think she needs to go main roster right away.
Yeah, for sure. She could do that.
Maybe why do Koreans like to use eat defeat? Korean women. Anyway. All
right. Anyway.
A lot of good wrestling happening over this past week. You should catch this week's episode of 205 Live. There was a fatal five-way elimination match. You might not like the result, but
the action itself is good.
It's great. And Nigel McGuinness replaces... Oh, we didn't talk about this.
JBL is not...
It's so much better now, diba?
Oh, it's so refreshing.
So refreshing to hear
Corey Graves
competent commentating.
And
not just that, there's a trickle-down effect in that Nigel McGuinness replaces Corey Graves in 205 Live.
Which is fine.
And, you know, he's also a breath of fresh air. Mostly because he's such a He's such a wrestling color commentator.
Yes, he's a wrestler's color commentator.
Yeah.
He'll call your shit and he knows what it
is. He has good chemistry and rapport with Vic Joseph.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm excited to catch all of that.
And you know what? If you have the time, make time to watch Bola 2017.
Yeah.
Which just happened this past weekend. Amazing stuff. If you want to know who wins, it's Ricochet.
Yeah.
First two times.
One hell of a triple threat main event, though.
Oh, God. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's something to watch out for, and if not just for the main event, you know, Bola is always fun. Bola is always... Sure. And you know what does come out of Bola?
Mm-hmm.
The Donovan Dijak signing.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yes. Donovan Dijak's out in NXT. We'll talk about that next week when he finally makes an impact.
Yes.
Right.
And we'll see.
Yeah, so that's it for this week's episode of the podcast. Thanks to everyone who went to PWR Live So Good. Thanks to everyone who went to PWR Live in APCC. Thanks for everyone who listens to this podcast.
Everyone who's going to go to MWF.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
MWF Road to Fate. Yeah. Shout out to our brothers from MWF. I don't believe I was slated to go, but I cannot go anymore.
I cannot go either. Work, man, work.
Yeah.
But we will have somebody...
Yeah, no. We do wish MWF well. And I do hope Mr. Lucha's mystery opponent isn't a former PWR guy. That's it.
Yep.
So thanks once again to our brothers and sisters from PWR, our brothers and sisters from MWF, and who else?
Everyone who supported us. Yeah, everyone who supported
Philippine Wrestling.
Yes.
Which is in an upswing right now. It's time for, you know... Tomorrow's MWF show will cap off a huge 3-week stretch for local wrestling.
And it's a beautiful thing.
It's a totally beautiful thing. And
it's so legit right now.
Yeah, it really is. It's here and it's real.
And it's so palpable.
Yeah. And for Stan C...
Wait. Social media.
I was getting there. Jesus Christ, relax. For Stan C, at underscore Stan C.
There you go.
Rowdy Grab Camus, at Caveman Camus.
I need to change that now.
I am... Ravishing Romaran, at Roswar, and you can tweet us.
Very ravished.
Yeah. Tweet us at the SV podcast, you know, and Curious Cat as well. At our own individual accounts, at Stan C, at Gameline Camus,
at Raf Camus.
Sorry. At Roswar. You grew up at Curious Cat. Keep those questions coming. You know, we love to answer them. We also definitely love to answer the questions about the podcast. So, you know, we love talking to you guys. With that,
thank you so much. We are out of here.
What time is it? It's 11 p.m.?
You know what?
Is it 11 p.m.?
It's 11:15 p.m. And you know what time it is? You know, let's switch it up.
Okay.
At 11:15 p.m., please sit down.
Be humble.
Thank you for listening to the SGP Podcast. To get more from the voice of the modern Filipino wrestling fan, go to www.smarkhenry.ph.